Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Diva of Days of Our Lives Blog Talk Radio Show. Today, we'll be discussing the week, the last week's show, and a lot of other little tidbits.
Writers.
Yes, and about the head writers and some other interview shows that Martha Madison had. So before we get started, I just want to tell you, you can find us on Twitter at Diva of Dole. And on Facebook at Diva Days. We're also on iTunes. And I'm Marianne, and I'm on Twitter at Mama_Hooch. I'm hosting tonight. Carrie and Anna can't make it, or Rose can't make it. So Jamie's here to help me.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Dang on.
You want to tell them what's your Twitter?
Yeah, it's at Jamie Coleman, and the letter T at the end.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also, I guess we better pimp at Amy Hapka and at Bob Hapka. They can call in anytime they want. And I hope Amy's feeling better. And I also want to wish Jan Shywan a happy birthday tomorrow. Tomorrow's her birthday. And I don't know if she's in the chat room or listening, but... she's always a big supporter of the Blog Talk and the Diva. So happy birthday to her. So, and you can join us in the chat room, anybody. We can take callers, too. So, okay. So I guess the big news that came out this week was that Tomlin is gone and that they hired Dina Higley back. And what's the other, the writers? Josh, and what's his last name?
Josh Griffith, I think it is. Or Griffin,
yeah.
I can't remember this one, but
Griffin. Yeah, I'm not familiar with him. I'm familiar with Dina Higley and all. They always called her the Hack or Hackley.
Yeah,
because of that's what we always called her back in the day. And so I don't know. I don't know if this is. It's a good thing that Tomlin's leaving. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like good news and bad news. It's good that he's gone, but it's bad that she's back. And then I've heard
good
mixed reviews about this. And then I've heard mixed reviews about this Josh guy coming on because I looked him up online and he's worked at a bunch of other shows.
He has.
Like he's at Young and the Restless. He's on As the World Turns. I think they said that his first show was Santa Barbara back in the day, which maybe Carrie knows about that because she watched that, right?
Yeah, I watched it a little bit. But she watched more than I did.
So maybe if he wrote some of her favorite storylines on there, she might have.
Yeah, I was just. It didn't say what stories he wrote or what characters he wrote for.
No.
It just said what show
it just said what shows and what time periods. It said.
Oh, okay.
'80s, early '90s for Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I don't know too much about him. And Higley, she came on after Ed Scott left, because I remember...
Actually, it was during the middle of that, because actually she had allegedly gotten Ed Scott fired, because I listened to...
I've heard that, too.
...Confidential podcast with Jamie Gibbons and Luke Kerr and all of them, and they were talking about how Allison Sweeney had allegedly rewritten scripts, and that Higley found out about it and got Ed Scott fired for doing that.
I didn't catch that. Allison Sweeney what?
Allison Sweeney had been rewriting the scripts.
Oh, I did hear about that.
And then Ed Scott, and then somehow Higley found out about it and fired Ed Scott for allowing Allison to do that.
Because he was, at the time, this was back in like 08, because I know that's when I first met Teo at his dinner, and that's when they were writing that real good storyline with the Demiras. I don't know if you remember that, where John was a Demira, and they were going to have I guess they were going to have like John fight Stefano and then EJ, and it was kind of them all going to be battling for position in the family, which would have been really good.
Yeah,
and they were supposed to do more with the Theo, you know, autism storyline.
Yeah, and I think Taya was involved in that. Yeah, the autism storyline. Yeah, they were mentioning about how that storyline got dropped on the Daytime Confidential podcast about how Dina ruined that storyline by having Theo just fall down the stairs.
Right. And Scott would have...
downstairs is not exactly showing you that the kid has autism. That's just not a good way to handle the storyline.
I have a feeling if Ed Scott would have came on, that things would have went in a whole different direction there. But I don't know. And Tomlin, you know, I don't know.
Oh, I just looked on Twitter. Jan says that she's listening, but the chat room's not working for her.
It's not? Okay.
Yeah, that's what Jan says, yeah. Mm. I saw her post that on Twitter, so.
Mm. But it's working for other people? You said there are people in there?
I can see four guests listed, but I don't see them typing anything in the chat room. It just has the people's names listed for the guests.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
maybe I can see it. It's just not working. Like when they're trying to type stuff in there, it's not working. I don't know, but Blog Talk's weird.
I don't know. So. Yeah, I don't know if it's Blog Talk or I don't know. I'll have to ask Carrie if there's something we can do, like on our end on Blog Talk. So. We'll have to take care of that.
Yeah. And when I first found out that Higley was back, at first I was happy because at first I just found out that they were changing writers, and at first I was happy about that. And then I looked at the names of the new writers, and then the first name listed was Higley's name. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, you probably went, oh, it's just like one of those like emotions. Oh, God, yay, Tomlin's finally gone. And then, oh, but Higley's back.
Yeah. Be careful what you wish for, Yeah.
Well, the only thing is being a Tony fan and a Teo fan, and I knew it was never going to happen with Tomlin gone. I don't know, with Higley back, if it could. A lot of it's Corday, too. So we'll see. Depends on what direction the show goes. But,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, on a positive note, I was looking on Twitter earlier tonight, and General Hospital, their writers won a Writers Guild Award.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
well,
they won
a
Writers Guild Award. And guess who else was nominated?
Who else? Days?
Yeah, Days was nominated, but General Hospital beat them.
Good. I can't believe Days was nominated for a writing award. Well, yeah, and last year, remember how GH got snubbed at the Emmys? I mean, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
I hope the Emmys will be better for them this year. So I guess we haven't really heard anything more about that.
Yeah, I mean, if they won a Writers Guild Award, that might increase their chances of winning an Emmy.
Have you heard anything online about any, is it a lot of positive or more negative for Higley, Tomlin? Like, or what are the fans saying? Really been
Most of them are happy that Tomlin's gone, but most of them are not happy that Higley's back.
Yeah, same thing.
They're saying, like, oh, well, why would Kim Corday fire her twice and then rehire her a third time?
Yeah, they don't learn. Wish they'd bring Sherry Anderson back. That would be great.
Or bring on a new writer.
Or, a whole new writer that doesn't have any, you know, baggies or any history. You know, somebody new. Go in a better direction.
Yeah, because that was another thing. I keep going back to the Daytime Confidential podcast, but they made a lot of great points. They also said, you know, recycling the same old writers on all the different shows.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't watch YNR, but their new head writer is someone that was that terrible on All My Children, so.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll talk a little bit about the show and before I have. Looks like we have a couple callers, but we can talk about the show for a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
big
thing was
that?
Sunny in Hospital, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Well, basically, the week before, Sunny got stabbed, so now he's in the hospital. And he finally woke up, couldn't really remember what's happened. Like, they had to tell him that he got stabbed, and they don't know, Sonny doesn't remember that he found out about cheating on Sonny with Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And we found out that, yeah, Clyde's alive and that he was behind it, because Sonny looked down at his hand and he said, "Where's my wedding ring?" And then the very next scene, they showed Victor in the chapel, and
mm-hmm.
then
that,
turned around,
that
and
was...
then Clyde was there with the ring, and then Clyde was talking to Victor, and then I don't remember their whole conversation, but basically Clyde was warning Victor that he's going to go after the rest of his family if he goes after him again, and then he basically dropped the wedding ring on the ground and then ran out of the room.
Right, yeah, he was threatening. He was threatening Victor, and of course, because, you know, Clyde can say with it, "Oh, well, he tried to have me killed," you know,
yeah.
Like he can't say, like, yeah, he can't say that Clyde was the one,
yeah.
you know, that went after Sonny, because then Clyde can turn around and get him in trouble. So then he took the wedding ring then, and instead of giving it back to Sonny, he put it, like, he just left it on the bench, like, hopefully
yeah,
that somebody will find
no,
it.
No, he didn't leave it on the bench. He actually, like, slammed it down on the ground.
Oh, okay.
At first I thought
so
he was going
that...
to stomp on it, but he didn't. He just
yeah.
slammed it down on the ground.
Yeah, so that's
and
interesting.
And I thought it was kind of funny because Clyde was threatening Sierra, and I saw on Twitter someone say maybe Sierra could take down Clyde herself.
Yeah, she probably could.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Someone said, like,
yeah.
Kieran needs to just get a sword and start, you know, fencing off Clyde or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of
yeah, I still like to see Stefano come back, you know, take on Clyde.
Yeah.
And I guess he's getting back. I guess Kate's
coming
back.
Stefano and Victor team up against Clyde or something. That could be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Stefano
because, you know,
Victor usually
yeah.
on opposite sides, but then
they're
teaming up against Clyde.
Right, cause they're usually on opposite sides, yeah. Yeah, that would be interesting.
Mm. Man.
And then, what else? Kate was on some with Clyde, I guess. You know, she called him up, or he called her up. So I don't know where they're kind of going with that. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think Kate was on much this week. I think she showed up to the hospital to see Sonny, and then when she was there, she saw Victor and Clyde talking, and was wondering what was going on. Of course, they covered it up, what was going on.
Yeah. So, I guess somebody finally did tell Kate, but then they said Kate more or less was out of town. That was her for not being there when Sonny
yeah,
got stabbed, and she was out of town and just got back in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and the whole thing.
Him,
yeah, the whole, another thing with Kate was she saw the connection with Adrian and Lucas. She picked up on that.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right away, look, Lucas, and he's, what do you mean, what's going on, you know? So they had an interesting conversation, and he says,
yeah, Lucas
was
pretty
Lucas,
much denying it and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and then Lucas says about, oh, mother, or something, like, you're a good one to talk about morality, you know, giving me a lecture on morality, you know, about,
well,
you know, because he's married.
So.
He said something like that to Kate, you know, so.
Yeah.
That'll be good. And then big news, too, is Wally Kurth is coming back, and it sounds like wasn't it in Daytime Confidential? I think you had tweeted that he's going to actually
royalty,
have a good storyline. Daytime Royalty, okay. Daytime Royalty, that he's actually
yeah.
going to get a storyline.
Yeah. And, of course, he's still going to be working at GH now that he has a big story there. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's good that he's going to have two big stories
oh, yeah.
on both shows.
Yeah, that was a kind of, well, because it wasn't a shocker, but Olivia's pregnant.
I mean, I thought he was just going to come in and find, I thought they were just going to bring Justin back for one or two episodes just to see.
Yeah,
Lucas
so it's nice that he's going to be able to do both.
And be it, but.
Yeah, because I enjoy him as both characters.
Oh, yeah. But I was just worried that they were just going to have Justin and Adrian just get divorced and then Justin leave
right.
and not be it.
Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking about it. I was just thinking I'll have to get talk to Carrie and Anna. It'd be nice to try to get him for a interview for the Diva. So.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Be something we could try to work on. because he did one before, and he was a lot of fun. So.
Oh yeah, I listened to that in the archives. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay. So who else? Yeah.
Well, we have the never-ending Eve, JJ, and Paige.
Hey, Paige. Oh, that was disgusting again. He went back. Can you believe it? He goes back to her again.
I know, yeah, and the worst part was when they were in the middle of doing it, the picture of Paige was sitting right there, and I thought he was going to stop once he saw the picture of Paige right there, but he continued on having sex with her.
Yeah, like, I just don't get it. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, I guess it's one of these hate, you know, send hate,
yeah.
You know,
I mean,
things together.
Even if he loves Paige, and when he saw the picture of Paige, it looked like he was going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But then he just kept doing it. I don't.
He's taking out his frustrations. That's what he's doing. I just don't like the whole storyline at all.
Yeah.
But you know what's going to come out soon. And, you know, Paige is determined to find out who it is. And she thought, at first she thought it was Daphne. But then
Cole
got the
stupid,
number.
Though. Just because basically what happened was her friend was texting JJ, and just because she was texting him, she assumed that she was the one sleeping with him. That didn't make any sense.
I know. That's what, Teresa told her. Go look at his phone and check the texts, and you'll be able to tell. Well, you know, everybody, you know, everyone texts, so that doesn't mean much of anything. But I guess he didn't find the texts from, you know, from Eve. So, I don't know. Yeah, that story can be over anytime soon. Somebody's,
And of course, with the writing change, we're just going to probably just have to suffer through it for another 6 more months until the writers drop that story, probably.
And then we had more Brady and Melanie.
Because with day filming so far ahead, you know, we're basically just in transition period until, I think they're already filming July.
Are they in July now?
Yeah, that's what I heard, that they're filming July. And that the new writer's material won't start until July or August time.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, basically, until then, we're in a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Brady and Melanie. A little bit of Brady and Melanie getting closer, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't really on this week a whole lot, I don't think. But.
No, huh? No. And the whole Eric and Serena and Nicole thing and Daniel. Yeah.
I don't know what's worse, JJ, Eve, and Paige, or that.
I don't know. She's still, you know, if I see that stupid elephant one more time, that dang elephant, she keeps taking it and looking at it. She takes it out of the case.
Does she think it's a piggy bank or what? I mean, I don't know,
but I'm getting tired. And then she went to switch it while she fell, and then Nicole comes in and she apologizes, and then Ari comes, and they're always throwing Nicole under the bus about something.
Yeah, look, why didn't she just grab it and then take a hammer or something and smash it open, or if she thinks there's something inside or whatever, just do that.
I don't know. I guess what she's trying to do is switch the good one with the bad one. Trying to get it out of Eric's room, I guess. I guess that's what she's trying to do. I don't know. It's just stupid. The whole storyline.
Yeah.
What else? Hope and Aiden. That was probably one of the better parts of the show.
Yeah. Although they kind of dragged on Hope finding out the stuff. You know, because they've been in that cabin for a while now, I think, so.
Yeah. It's kind of suspenseful when she's there and she's there. He starts pounding on the door, you know, on the tape, and then he actually starts pounding on the door of the cabin, and then she finds that antifreeze, and she finds the pick.
And of course, Aiden's panicking once he realizes that Hope has watched the video.
Yes. So that's kind of where it ended, I think, right?
Because after she watched the video and Aiden found out that she watched the video, she came back into the house, and then all of a sudden Aiden disappeared after watching the video, and then she went because she remembered hearing on the video something about the hammer or, no, the axe that was in the broom closet or whatever. So she went into the closet and found it in there, and then was worried, had a worried look on her face when she found it in there that, oh, my gosh, the wife was right. He did kill her with this or whatever. And he saw Aiden having this weird look when he was staying behind Hope. And, of course, Hope doesn't realize that Aiden's right behind her.
Right behind, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, oh, he's going to get her. He's going to kill her. But there's still more to it. I'm thinking, he's going to stick around.
I don't know. I mean,
the promo
looks like he's crazy or something, because on the promo they showed Hope pointing something at him for self-defense, and then somehow he grabbed it away from Hope, and then he started poking at it with her. Did you see that on the promo?
No, I didn't see the promo.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the promo showed that, and then it also showed the Sonny finding out about Will and Paul. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I don't see the promo. And that was the promo they showed. They've set the promo out because they don't do the promos every day like GH does. Do they? Days?
No.
Or do they? No. But GH does that like every day right after the show. They'll show you like next on GH. And Days used to do that, but they don't do that anymore, I noticed.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's more to the AIDS story. So, no.
So should I tell you about the Eric Martsoff interview?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Because I didn't see it, so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this, the guy that was on, so Eric Martsoff was on Martha Madison's radio show. And they always have this guest, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's from Soaps and Debt. And he always talks about things that have happened in the week. Soap news over the week. One of the things that he was mentioning was the writing change of Days, Tom run out and Higley back. And then Eric Martsoff kind of gave this weird look. He didn't actually say anything about it. He kind of gave a weird look.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow Martha Madison, she started laughing, and then he says, what, I didn't say anything.
Oh, but you could tell he was,
yeah.
Body language said it all probably, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like this weird look, like, oh, I probably shouldn't say anything, even though I want to. And then Martha Madison, she started laughing, and then he said, what, I didn't say anything, or something like that. So, yeah, and then the other thing that they were talking about was basically, I mean, they didn't quite come out and say it like this, but basically, Black for Romance on Days. The lack of romance on Days. They didn't exactly say it like that, but what they said was about how about forced couplings, like they kind of put people together that don't really have chemistry, the actors don't have chemistry, or instead of taking it slow and seeing people going out on dates and building friendships and then relationships and stuff, they rush it and stuff like that.
Yeah, they rush it, and they throw couples down our throat that we, after a while, they know that the fans aren't liking. They just don't give up on it. Like Jennifer, for one thing. That couple. And they force Serena and Eric.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we don't care about Serena, so why should we care about her and Eric? And Eric's acting like a jerk, so.
Right.
And then, Jennifer, they've been a couple on and off for the past 2 or 3 years now. It's ridiculous. And plus, they're still going with Jennifer, because you can tell, because they've had some scenes lately as well. Of course, I don't remember what their scenes were about because I fast-forwarded them, so.
Yeah. Jennifer was on this week, wasn't she? There was the whole thing with JJ, and JJ didn't sleep in his bed, so where was JJ at? And she thought she was, he was with Paige. Little does she know. That's what I want to see is when she finds out.
Yeah, that's probably the only thing that most people care about the story is Jennifer's reaction.
She finds out. Yeah.
And then I also saw someone tweet about how with the lack of romance there seems to be more cheating than happy couples on the show, which is true.
Yeah. No.
Oh, and I also I don't know if you saw, I think Angela saw on Twitter, but I tweeted some phrases that Erica Slavak said about Hickory, because she was also, Hickory was also fired from One Life to Live, and Erica Slavak was very vocal about that.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, about how Hickory doesn't want to write stories that are based on the show's history and stories that she likes but fans don't like it or something like that, somewhere along those lines.
Yeah, I saw that you had tweeted that, D'Angela. Yeah, maybe we, it looks like she's holding, so maybe we can bring her on and see what she has to say.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure she's there, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sure she'll have a lot to say about Hickory, yeah.
Hello?
Hello, ladies.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. It was quite an accident.
I saw you, and then you were gone, and then you come back. I said, did I leave?
I know. Cell phone just dropped. I just couldn't. It said it was still connected, but I couldn't hear anything. I don't know. Something
like
strange on my cell phone.
Yeah. Cause
we're having
problems
chatting as well, so it's probably blog talk problems.
Yeah, I have a Kindle, and I 9 times out of 10, I can't get on the Kindle while the show is live. I can listen to it after, but for some reason, I can never get the chat room to work or to actually hear the conversation.
Yeah, it looks sounds like a lot of people are having trouble
Kindle.
With the chat room, because I even have trouble opening up the chat room on mine.
Really?
Kindle and computer, so, yeah.
Don't know. No problem on if I have my laptop, but it's just if I'm using the tablet, it's just
okay.
A little bit too much. But now I was listening to what everybody was saying, and yes, I'm not very pleased that Dina Higley is coming back.
Yeah.
There's not much that can surprise me about the show, but frankly, I really was surprised that they brought her back. I have no idea. I think Josh Griffith, could be good news. I think he's a solid writer. I mean, he obviously had a lot of problems with Maria Bell on Y&R, and that whole regime change over there. I think he got blamed for some things, possibly because whenever writers change hands, you never know really what was the end of what's one person's story and who was really starting another one.
And we're not going to see Higley for a while anyway, right? It's going to be a long time before we see this stuff anyway.
My shout out is to Gail Winters on Twitter, who was certainly a big E. Jammy fan, and she is a very sweet lady. She said, so 6 or 7 more months of Tom Sell and this awful story is unwatchable story or something, and she said just to wait for Dina Higley to come back.
She said,
no thanks.
Jamie said, she got all excited when she saw Tomlin was gone, and then the next breath
light,
it was like
the light
was
from
back.
The end of the tunnel, and then the light from the end of the tunnel went away.
I think, well, like I said, Josh Griffith, honestly, it can't be. I mean, he's still a solid writer. I mean, he wrote with an actual, what was the guy's name? Michael Malone on One Life to Live before Dina came. I mean, Dina absolutely, demolished One Life to Live. It was awful. And I actually, Gary Tomlin, and maybe Chris Whitesell too, both were hired over there to kind of salvage whatever was going on One Life to Live. She must have been going through a really bad time because it was much, much worse than Days of Our Lives ever was. And to me, under Higley was the worst it's ever been, followed only second by Mardar. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I hope that they're going to be able to write a good 50th anniversary and have a nice sign off for the show. But I don't really hold out much hope of anything beyond that.
We just have to hope, but the hope is kind of forward.
Oh.
Plus,
they've got to have
I don't have much faith. I don't have much faith in them doing you know, 50th Justice.
And how much influence and control does Josh Griffiths have over Dina Higley? Like, she might be doing most of the writing, and then he's just secondary to her.
Well, I don't think she writes, really. She kind of, from what I've read, again, I don't know, obviously don't know her, just read, but read, and then we see the results that are on air, and occasionally we hear an anecdote here and there from an actor. It's more like she just goes in and says these little events. What if we had a plane crash? You know, what if so-and-so, you know, and then that's about as far as she goes with it, and then she hands it off, you know, to the breakdown writers, you know, which there are many, and then really there's not much follow-up. So I think that's kind of part of her MO. But Josh Griffiths is a pretty detailed guy, and he's worked with not with Maria Arena Bell, but with Michael Malone or whatever the actor. He was an actual novelist who worked on One Life to Live, and he really was very detailed. And he also was very detailed and wrote quite well for General Hospital for a period of time during the writer's strike a couple of years ago. So I think that, you know, that again, I think that might be good. The drawback is, of course, Josh Griffiths does not know Days of Our Lives. But you know, they've got an excellent overall script writing team, and they all know the show by now. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I have no idea what they're planning to do. I was pleased with what you were saying about Wally Kurth. I read that too, that he's evidently going to have a longer term story. And we'll be still on both shows, both General Hospital and Days. I think it's fascinating that he started filming in the article, Jamie, you were talking about, that he said he started filming last September. And
He's going to be on screen either this week or the week after, I'm not sure, but.
Oh, good. So it's right up, coming up close. Well, that's week, good. That's good.
Yeah, because I said on screen this week, Justin is coming home. So if he's coming home, we know that Justin's going to see.
There, yeah. They're about, what, 5 months? That makes it about 5 months, mm-hmm. at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're finally 5 to 6 months ahead, so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, and I've given up on that, too. I really believed that the show was going to continue. You know, I would get back on the whole argument of why we're doing this thing 6 and 7 months in advance, but I don't think that there's enough time left for the show to waste breath talking about why they're doing it, because it just doesn't make any sense.
And I saw on I think it was Soap Central, they said, would you like to see the 6 more months until like the new writer's material start, and them just cutting out the old writer's material right away?
Like I said, it's hard to tell what they're going to do. They can't afford to just throw away, film that's in the can. I mean, they just don't have the money.
We'd be seeing what Higley around August, right? August, September, something like that. They're starting now, right? She'd be starting to write now.
Which should be really, if they're going to do a decent 50th anniversary, cannot
so it'll
be a
be her
activity.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'll be her, some of her ideas, but I'm just saying, I guess the best case scenario is that she throws out some decent ideas. I hope that they also allow Melissa Salmons and the Culletons and some other people that are really experienced soap writers that have been on the show now for at least 5 to 8 years to also make some suggestions. Because I think they also know, which characters are beloved and which ones aren't, and really focus on that. And then be able to just come up with some money, bring like a Stephen Nichols back, and, I don't think we're seeing James Scott again, but, obviously I'm sure Allison Sweeney will come back. And, there are some other folks, they could bring back Don Craig. I think Don Craig went out to mail a letter in what, 1978 or 79, and just never came back. Maybe he'll come back. But I don't know. We'll see. I pray for the best.
Yeah, and my thing is, if they have those other writers on the show, like you're mentioning, like Melissa Sammons and stuff, why wouldn't they just promote them instead of bringing back Hillary? Just promote one of the other writers on the show.
Oh, yeah, well, Lorraine Broderick. I mean, but, of course, Lorraine Broderick will not work for Ken Corday directly. I mean, you know, she did that for 3 days in 1999. She signed a contract, and she worked for him for 3 days when she quit. And so it was amazing that she came on the show as a breakdown writer or associate writer. It would have been great. Lorraine by this time knows the show. I know Melissa Salmons knows the show now. Keelton knows the show. You know, have Lorraine Broderick and Josh Griffith write the show. I mean, I really don't understand. Like I said, Dena Higley was responsible for some of the worst stories and execution that the show's ever had. So why?
What were some of them? You know, what were some of them that Higley did?
Some of the worst stories?
Yeah.
Well, Nighttime Hope, that was one of them.
Nighttime Hope, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was a sleeping pills and knocking people over or whatever, stealing their wallets.
Okay.
Putting lipstick on people, I heard she did that as well. I don't remember that part of the story, but...
I think, didn't she do the alien twins?
I was just going to say...
Did the reversal of who the alien twin parents were?
Yeah, I think that was during our
did
first run back in 2003.
Because it should have been, the best story would have been Tony and Marlena. Because that gives you all the conflict and with John and all that, and she makes it what Roman and Kate. Really, that just didn't make sense. Yeah,
no.
I hated.
There was a lot of backstage going on about that.
Yeah, I heard about
that.
I've heard that. Another
story Higley wrote was Jennifer in the prison with taking her heart out.
Oh,
he saved her with the heart. Yeah, like she should have been dead.
Yeah, Stephanie was involved.
No scar. A month later, she's over at the Brady Pub eating a hamburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Stephanie was behind the whole thing because he was wanting people's organs for money or whatever.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. But I think some of that actually was James Riley's problem, too, even in the late 1990s. I'm not Dena Higley any breaks, but I think one of the things, you know, so many stories that were really beloved, you know, everyone liked The Cruise of Deception, a lot of the things back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, when they introduced the Kyriakises and so forth, that I think a lot of people really enjoy and still talk about. Some of that, James Riley, I think, kind of grouped all the evil people that had ever been together, like Ernesto and a few other evil characters that they had on the show. And then they just said ultimately Stephanie was responsible for all of it. You know, and that was kind of a revisionist thing because they really were other villains on the show. It all just in the end, they would just say, oh, but that was really Stephanie's fault.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, they've got, heavens, there's plenty of us out there that have been watching the show for 40 years or so, or less, and or more, that could certainly contribute if they wanted input into what we would like to see for the 50th anniversary. I think we're out here to help them.
Yeah, but boy, they never listened to us.
I do think that they need some money, and I don't know where they're going to get the money from. Because I don't think Sony has got the money to really help them, even if they wanted to. And then and NBC, I'm not sure. You know, the NBC is. I hope that they look at it from a long term perspective. That the Days of Our Lives being on for 50 years is a brand name. People remember it, whether they watched it in 5 years or 25 years or 5 weeks ago or yesterday. You know, you can't really just wipe away. People know who Hope and Stefano and Bo were and you know, they're Marlena. People know those characters, and you can't create a brand like that just overnight. And so hopefully maybe NBC will come up with some money to, you know, and I'm sure a lot of actors will come back and are not going to demand a tremendous amount of money to come back, but because they know the fans would like to see them, and I'm sure they'd like
the
to be.
Who are they going to bring back, and will they bring them back? Or will they just have a 50th with what they have now? I mean, how can you have a 50th with
I don't, they
not
can't
bringing
have a 50th
people
with
back?
What they have now, they don't have anybody hardly on the show that means anything to anybody.
Right. That's what I mean. If you're going to do a 50th anniversary and celebrate your 50th anniversary, you have to bring back old characters, and you have
to
do
flashbacks. Yeah, I don't want to see,
I don't want to
see Serena and her elephants on the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, who is the only one other than Maggie? Okay, Maggie and Victor. Maggie, of course, has been there the longest of anybody at this point, I guess. And
1974.
Then Victor. Yeah, and Victor and Christian Afonso and Hope. Other than that.
Julie and Doug will be there.
Julie and Doug,
Julie,
will be back.
Jennifer's Julie and
been
Doug
there
have
for
been
a
there
while.
Longer than Maggie. Maggie started in 1974. That character started in 1974.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I know that.
People that go back, and then the rest of them are all fairly new, when you think, you know.
Yeah. Well,
John
mean,
and Marlena,
there's
okay, but they're hardly on right now. But, they'll be there.
I don't know. I don't think they really know. I think that's what Jamie was saying on Twitter this week, is that, you know, I kept saying, well, somebody better know, have some idea of what they're going to do. But I think Jamie's right. I don't think any of us really know if they have any idea what they're going to do yet or not.
Yeah, I think if they knew, they wouldn't have switched writers if they knew what they had planned. So.
You would think they'd start promoting it now? Did GH do a whole year of it? Didn't they start promoting it by...
Well,
they did.
Days of Our Lives tried to do that because, you know, after they had the fiasco of last November sweeps, they put out, I don't know, this isn't that much publicity, but they put out a press release saying that the kickoff to the 50th anniversary year was going to be the Christmas parade in Los Angeles. And, you know, they made a deal out of that. I mean, at least from a press release standpoint, I'm not saying they, obviously, but I don't think that was any great shakes, because I don't think that Ken Corday even attended the parade. And but they did present the new logo at Christmas, but they didn't actually put it on screen until was it last week that you were talking about that, Jamie?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think Ken Corday's going to spend any money of himself either. Sony and NBC is not going to spend money on Corday.
They've got that holding company set up. Yeah, they're getting that 1% from Y&R.
Yeah, he's doing a fish show.
I don't know what they're
going to
do.
You
know, the sets are terrible. I tried to watch an episode a week last couple of weeks, and I did watch one episode this week. Last week I tried to watch one and I went to sleep, but I did watch one this week, and when it was the one with the elephant.
I said, I'm getting tired of seeing that.
I cannot believe
elephant.
This is so stupid. But
it's like Sierra in the envelope. Remember, she kept looking, but that was a little bit more. That was even a better story. But it's like, get rid of that elephant.
I don't. You know, like Jamie said this, and I think she's right. I think we just have no idea that they have an idea or not, or even if they have an idea what they can afford to do. And, you know, that's the other thing. You can't go back and ask people for money at NBC or Sony or I don't know where else, investors or someone, or a Kickstarter program from the audience. They can't do any of that unless they tell people what they're planning to do. One thing I think that they could do, I don't know that they will do it, but, you know, look at how many producers we've got on there. Obviously, Ken Corday, obviously, is picking up a paycheck of some ilk, and obviously he's getting that 1% from Y&R. But he's not actively producing, I don't think. I don't know. Greg Ming seems to be more of an administrative type guy. Lisa Cosette, I may be pronouncing her name incorrectly, I think she's pretty much on the set, hands-on, day-to-day on there. But then they have the director doing some of that same work, you know, whoever they have as the director.
Maybe they could
you know,
skim it down
they
a
didn't
little
have,
bit. Too many people.
I didn't have enough. They didn't have another producer. So I think they could eliminate some of that, actually, and that would actually give them a little bit of money because I was looking
also,
at even like – go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and also get rid of some of these deadweight characters like Serena and Paige and get rid of some of those new characters that are kind of deadweight
yeah.
characters and to bring back those actors. I mean, no offense
you know,
to those actors.
The best thing we're going to have is that they're going to wrap up some of these stories when Tomlin leaves and White's leave. And again, I to me, Chris Weitzel actually is the one that saved the baby napping, Sidnapping or whatever, you know, story that was just, you know, in a shambles. I think, you know, so honestly, I still kind of think Chris Weitzel probably deserves a little bit more respect than what we actually have given him, but we've really seen some sorry stuff lately. But he, I still think he's actually a pretty good writer. But who knows what has driven all of this. But, yeah, if they get rid of some of the people from one, basically some of the One Life Delivers that they've brought on. And, you know, As the World Turns did this. I believe when they were going off, they brought on Stuart Damon, they brought on Billy Warlock, they brought on a bunch of people from General Hospital that had been taken off of General Hospital.
Yeah, I remember
and
you
brought those
that.
Vets on to As the World Turns, which nobody cares about at the end of As the World Turns, but here are these vets from General Hospital. And I'm afraid that's – and it looks like they're trying to do some of that with – I can't think of his name. The guy that played Scott Chandler on All My Children is coming on, and so it looks like there's several people that were One Life to Live or All My Children actors, and nobody's going to care about any of that. So I don't know. I we'll see. Maybe they'll surprise us, and it'll be great. Hopefully, they'll maybe ask for some input. I think. Since Wally is saying that he's got a part to play that's fairly significant, it would be nice for them to do, because Mary Beth Evans has been very loyal to the show, whether she's had something to play or not. She's been there, and obviously people love Steve Nichols, so maybe they'll bring.
I have a caller. Somebody they've been holding. I don't know who it is. It might be Kenneth. They've been holding for a while, so just to make sure.
Okay.
Think it. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? 814? I mean, 845?
Yeah, it's Jen.
Oh, Jen, hi.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Can't get into the chat room either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did you want to talk or were you just listening?
Oh, no. I wanted to put my two cents in about Higley.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
I think it's the worst move they could make.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Seems like what everyone's saying.
Yeah. I mean, I saw One Life during her reign as well as her last reign on Days, and it was horrid.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
What did she do on One Life to Live that was terrible? Because I didn't watch it.
Oh, my God. Like, she just about destroyed Quentin Vicky. And, like, Bo and Nora were, like, going around and around. And it was like she had Quint with Dorian. It was bad.
Well, Erica Slezak, who's, you know, very professional, that's a
I looked that up because I knew she said something about it, and I looked it up. Yeah.
I mean, even Dena Higley admits that was not a good time for her.
she admitted it. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's good, I guess.
She recognizes it. I mean, it was, you know, but again, that was the rebirth of them actually promoting Ron Carlovati to head writer, and Frank Valentini was there through all of, you know, I don't know what his role was at that time, So from that disaster came some great writing and production, you know, that we get to enjoy on General Hospital now. But yeah, but it was.
I like Ron better on General Hospital than I did on One Life. He didn't write for a lot of the characters I liked on One Life, but he's doing more in General Hospital for most of them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they did have Ron.
I think with General Hospital, it's always been more diverse, too, so there's more character.
Yeah.
Because One Life was had, well, though it was really good, they dealt with a lot more social issues. And General Hospital has done some of that, but not as seriously as One Life was.
Yeah.
A little bit different show. But we shall see. What do you think? I mean, Jen, what would you like to see for the 50th anniversary the most?
I'd like to see Tony and Anna return.
Yay!
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Don't hold breath
on
that one.
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see them all, you know, a lot of them return, you know, the couples and some surprises.
Yeah.
Some people we've even forgotten about, you know, surprise us with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I want like a big party or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Like some big reason that they all come together, kind of like, you know, GH because of the nurse's ball, but like some kind of dedication or something at the hospital with the Hortons or something. I don't know.
I just hope they do it right.
A lot of good things, you know. I'm sure.
So, who do you think killed Meredith?
I think she killed herself. Isn't that what you were thinking, Angela? Too?
I think she did, and I think that.
And she set up.
You know, Bree still has something to do with it. Whether I think she killed herself, and she may have created that video or whatever they showed last week. Her, you know.
Yeah.
Her, you know, just because that's like what they did in the story Rebecca, that novel, and they wouldn't have any rights. That story anymore because it was actually challenged back in the 40s or 50s after the Alfred Hitchcock movie was made. There was a woman who came up and said that there was a portion of it that was stolen from her from something else that had been written, and they actually went through a whole trial over rights to the show. And one of the things that happened out of that court case is that they could not. No one could come back again with a, oh, you know, that's my story situation somehow, whatever however they resolve the lawsuit. And so, you know, it's almost like it's, you know, public domain now. I'm still looking for that. I don't know, I guess, because the only person Bree could be would be like a Mrs. Danvers type character who would be, which I think would be interesting because she would be scary. And the actress that plays Bree, I mean, she's only been on a few times, but she was from As the World Turns. She was on another soap, too. I don't know which one, but she played a really nutty, crazy character name. And her name was Meg, and they called her Nutmeg. And so I think her name is Marie Wilson, I think is the actress's name. But she's well known for playing a real way out kook. I have no idea what they're going to do, how they're going to turn it around.
But you know, Aiden can't be the bad guy. You know,
I doubt that very seriously. Daniel Cosgrove is just not evil.
I doubt they would bring him on and put him with Hope just to ruin it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's being played out well. I mean, I'm kind of, you know.
It's the best story they have.
What's that?
It's
right
the
now?
Best story they have.
Yeah, although I'm still liking the Sonny Will thing, it's one of the best they have. Yeah, the rest of them, and then with Kristen coming back, I guess that's when's that? Is that going to be soon?
I think it's in the next couple of weeks, isn't it, Jamie? Didn't you say that last week?
Well, I've heard mixed things about it. Someone said that it's going to be next week, and then I've heard other things that late March, early April, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was thinking it's pretty soon. I, you know, again, the episode I watched, there was some Teresa and Melanie, you know, sniping at each other and so forth, and I just think that's such a shame. Like I said, I think, you know, they're not, I thought with the baby story that they could at least redeem and make Teresa a little bit likable. But, you know, they really haven't done that. And I really think Jim Lilly's leaving. And that's just a waste to me. I think she was a good actress. And that was a lot of potential with that, which was not fulfilled. But I don't know what they're going to do. But if you wrap up all the people that have been brought on in the last 6 to 12 months, you know, you're really down to a real handful. And
maybe they can afford people back then, I guess.
Maybe that's what they'll do. But, I mean, I think we talked about this before. It'd be nice to bring Jason Cook back as Sean Douglas, I think, and Martha Madison, since Kirsten Storms is on General Hospital, as on a contract, bring Martha Madison back as Belle. Obviously, she really wants to come back.
Yeah, and Chloe and all them. Yeah,
that would be good, Chloe. But bring back the real Chloe, not the Chloe that Dina Higley destroyed last time.
Yeah, with the prostitution, that was the worst.
That was awful. And, yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but I hope it's going to be good. I just honestly almost want it to be over, because if it can't be good, the longer it's awful, the more it really tarnishes what's already been done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I noticed ratings, well, they went up a little bit this week, not much, but they're still down from last year. Well, General Hospital really have gone up, and I think they've tied some records or something.
General Hospital just outrights, outproduces, outacts. I mean, everything. Storylines, characters,
yeah,
actors.
I mean, with their budget, the sets look good.
Really count Jill Farren Phelps out either with Young and the Restless. She's going to have that big disaster story coming up. And so that's going to draw people to want to Young and the Restless, I think. I mean, a lot of people are dissatisfied. I've never watched that show regularly, so I guess my expectations are not quite what people are that watched it all along. But they'll do some good things, too. And they've got the most money to spend of anybody, because they make the most money.
Mm-hmm. So what else? How about General Hospital? Does anybody watch that? Does Jen watch that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love the Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah, that was I really enjoyed how they did that episode.
Yeah, no Valentine's Day for days. I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah. What was up with that? Well, because there's no romance on days anymore. And that's true. Right. They didn't even mention Valentine's Day, did they?
Yeah,
no
mention of it.
Because they, what, were they filming it in September?
Yeah, they probably forgot.
It was Labor Day then or something. Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
the only holiday we get on days, I saw someone tweet, the only holiday we get on days is Christmas. That's the only holiday. Because we didn't get Halloween or Thanksgiving either, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
And New Year's, there was barely anything for that.
So what did you think about Olivia finding out she was pregnant?
That's interesting. I'm going to like her and Ned and the whole stuff with Julian and Alexis as well.
It has to be Julian's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some conflict there. But I think they're going to get her and Ned together is who I like.
Yeah. Liv. Well, I read someone has a theory that maybe Ned is going to raise the child, because Ned did that in the past with Christina, which was Sonny's child.
Mm-hmm.
He tried,
but they wouldn't let him.
Yeah, so he might do the same
thing
with this baby as well.
What was that again? Because I missed that story.
Oh, Sonny's daughter, Christina. Ned tried to pass off the child as his own.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it might be the same
and
thing again with this
Sonny,
child.
Sonny's child, right? With
Alexis.
Oh,
yeah.
And Ned, when Ned was with Alexis, tried to say
yeah.
It was
yeah.
Okay.
They might do the same thing again with this child.
Okay. That's
true.
I love
Lisa LeCicero. I hope she makes it to the full nominations for Best Supporting Actress and wins Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah,
I think she truly is the best supporting actress on any of the shows. I really like her, and I think she's done an excellent job over. She's been on that show now a good 6 or 8 years. It seems like it's been a good while, and. I think she deserves the recognition. I hope she gets it.
Yeah, I want to see Jane Elliott win, though.
Oh, I know, but it's not going to be this year. It's not. It should have been last year. She should have won. But she's not even on the pre-noms this year, which is a shame. But they really have not given her as much of a story this year as they did last year. They really had a great story for her last year.
Yeah.
One of the best ones she's had, but hopefully there'll be more of a chance with her. She goes again. You know, she would be an interesting person to bring back today's Raw.
I would love to see that.
You know, because she played Angelica Devereaux.
Who's left
oh, yeah.
Stuff, and now their father, mm-hmm. and now their
she was
daughter,
great.
And now their
yeah.
mother and. On hilarious.
It would be hysterical because she and Ned would be, you know, I mean, that she and Wally had, on one show, you know, were, you know,
mother
lovers,
and
on the other show, their mother and son. It would be hysterical.
Yeah, and they have a child together on Days.
Mm-hmm.
They have a child together on Days. Yeah, isn't
Alex.
That weird? And then he plays her son on General Hospital. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and they mentioned Alex Kyriakos this week. Which I have not mentioned him in ages.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
We shall see.
You know,
Does anybody have any?
Yeah, that's funny. Yes, yeah, so sometimes you forget about that. You brought that up about, you know, her playing, Jane Elliott playing Angelica and Justin. That's funny. Yeah. What were you going to ask?
I was just going to say, I know y'all talked about the Emmys last week, I guess, have you heard very much or has there been much on Twitter this week about people concerned about, other than obviously Chris, not, no one understanding about Chrystel Strauss being nominated or self-nominated? Has anybody else heard anything interesting about the Emmys?
No, I haven't really heard much.
No. When is it on exactly? Do we even have
a
date?
The show is in April.
Okay.
So not too far away. That's the way it was originally when they first started having daytime Emmys. It was in the spring, and somehow or another, it all kept getting pushed back. So they're actually it's not that far away. I noticed and Jamie, I don't know where I read this, but I think it was Daytime Royalty. They said that they were bringing on an actor to be the manager of the Java Cafe, which means we're going to get the coffee house back.
Oh, that's interesting.
I haven't seen the Java Cafe, but in about 2 years.
So is Sonny going to be working there again, the Boys Club?
No idea.
Because I hate that club, that Club TBD that Sonny works at.
Mm-hmm. That was the airport lounge at one point. And then they put new wallpaper in there and made it Club TBD. So, yeah, I don't know, but they did say the Java Cafe was coming back. So, and they've hired somebody to at least, I guess, to be the barista or the manager or something.
So maybe that means we'll get better sets and stuff now. Hopefully.
Well, y'all had told me about the Kyriakos set. I think maybe it was last week, and it wasn't until I saw that episode this week of what is that room that they're
it
using?
Looks like a, It looks like a teenage girl's room or something, not a mansion.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's really bad. I thought the Mira room was bad, but I don't know. I think the Kiriakos mansion was always so nice, and that's just pitiful. And that little guy comes to the door. It's almost like, I don't know if it was Henderson or who it was bringing something, I guess, to Brady. I don't even know what it was now. I can't remember the scene. But it was like they were just like standing in the doorway. They're not coming in the room. They're just sticking their arm out and handing it into the room. It's just pitiful.
Yeah, because they don't have the stairs anymore on the side like they used to.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what they do. But I would really think it would behoove Days to get rid of a couple of producers and even some breakdown writers. I don't know that they need 8 or 9 breakdown writers. Mm-hmm. They've got Sherry Anderson used to write the whole thing.
Oh yeah,
and she was the editor. I mean, that's the way and that's the way Bill Bell and Kay Alden were. They wrote pretty much the whole thing.
And
you can look at the cast, and of course, just like Jamie brought up, which is wonderful. Congratulations to General Hospital's writing team winning tonight at the WGA Awards, best writing. They have a much smaller writing staff than Days does. And,
yeah, I saw that. I think they only have like 3 or 4 breakdown writers. They have half the size of breakdown writers.
I don't know how you deal with that many writers. I don't see how anybody can come up with a good story.
Yeah, when you do these breakdown writers, how do they do this? Everybody has different ideas. You should stick with a few writers. That's why it's all over the place. Days is like
in the pot or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, there's just
and they
too
have
many.
An editor. And then they have an editor that then goes back through it, and it I think it's just too big. And that's where a bunch of your money goes. I mean, that's where a huge part of the budget goes. And plus the fact if you've got 2 head writers, then you're paying them, several million dollars a piece.
That's why I never understood. Why do you need 2 writers? Why don't you just have 1 head writer?
And I think long term, Sherry Anderson, I think maybe talked about this in an interview with the Diva, a couple years ago, is that it used to be so different. Is that the head writer got paid a significant amount of money, and she or he paid the staff that worked for her or him, and out of that money, and so it was not all the way it is now with the Writers Guild where everyone. Makes a certain amount based upon what that has been negotiated. Now they're locked into a lot of stuff. But you do not have to have that many breakdown writers, nor do you need to have 3 producers and a director. I mean, because a director on the soap opera to me is basically telling people kind of just where to stand and that kind of thing. It's not like directing a movie where you really want to emote more of this emotion and so forth. They don't have time. They've got 10 minutes to film this stuff and then it's over and they're moved on to the next thing. So I don't think a director on a soap opera these days is quite the same as a director of a movie or even a TV program like Mad Men or Breaking Bad. And they just don't have the time. All you can really do is tell people where to sit, where to hit their marks, and make sure the cameras are in the right place. And they don't need that many people to do that. I mean, to me, that would be where I would cut if they were asking me. That's where I don't know where else they can get the money. They can't change what they're going to have to pay the actors, and if they don't have the actors, they really don't have a show. So I don't know. It's almost like you want it to be over. You want it to be good at the end and then it just to be done.
Well, I just wanted to be good and stay on the air. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think, was Kate on this week?
Yeah, a little bit. Not too much, but a little bit.
Yeah, she was on, like, talking with Clyde and talking with, looks and saw Lucas and Adrian talking, and she picked up on it right away and could tell, she thought mm-hmm. there was something between them. So, yeah. Other than that, not that much.
Yeah, she was on a whole lot, only one or two episodes.
Yeah.
There's not much memorable about days that or gets you excited about it or, you know, not
yeah.
like G8. Like, you know, we just wait to the next day to see what happens. Although I'm ready for Flute storyline to be over. But that's interesting. What do you guys think about that? That it really is
Luke? I'm still not sure who he is.
Yeah. Is it really Luke? And if it is Luke, is it because Helena mind controlled him, which is what they're thinking now?
I think he's got DID.
Think what?
I think he's got DID.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, split personality.
Oh, okay. That could be.
I really like Ken Shriner's scenes, though.
You like him? Oh, yeah.
Ken Shriner's scenes, Scotty?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's always been good. I'm glad that he's on back on the show.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I'm just curious to see where they go with that. But, yeah, Tony Gear's doing a good job.
Yeah. Well, I think it could easily be that he'll win Best Lead Actor. Especially if it's what Jen says, if it's, you know, dissociative, whatever, identity disorder or whatever they call that, you know, that's typically who wins. If you've got, you know, if it's been Bill Eckert all along, I don't think it has quite the same power.
So are they going to blame this split personality on his time in prison, the time he did spend in prison?
Mm-hmm.
Probably,
yeah. Okay.
Ron can explain anything.
Oh yeah, they could. I'm thinking maybe they didn't. They might have changed it along the way. It might have been mm-hmm. Bill, you know. It might have been this, and now we're going to change it. Yeah, because he throws out those red herrings, and yeah.
Well, I heard a casting for a young Luke as a child and a young Bobby, so I think it's something from mm-hmm. their past.
Oh.
Is it? Well, they're going
to
bring back a sister.
Yeah, it's alluded to a lot of abuse stuff. Yeah, you know what I mean? A bad childhood. So
yeah, and
maybe
it's an older sister.
Yeah, they talk about this Patricia that no one knew
before.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't really exist. Well, mm-hmm. we never saw the childhood anyway, because, I mean, we saw it when Bobby was came as a nurse at the hospital, and then all of a sudden she had her brother come to town to help her try to break up Scotty and Laura, exactly. So that's how they started on the show. There was no children, you know, with them growing up on the show and that kind of thing. But yeah, so that'll be interesting to see what they do. But that'll be a brand new story.
Yeah, I always like to watch backstories. You know, they'll start with a character mm-hmm. and then, you know, you find out, you know, what made them how they are. Yeah, so those are always interesting.
And it gives more dimension to Luke, who's been on the show for so long, you know. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, right now we know pretty much most of Luke's backstory, you know, because he's been on the show, you know, for such a long period of time and been such a featured character. So I think that'll be interesting. But we'll see. But I have perfect confidence that Frank and Ron will do a good job. And
yeah.
Which I wish we could say about Dave. But we'll hopefully Josh Griffith and maybe Lorraine Broderick will do more than Dina. Dina will just throw out some ideas and then kind of just sit back, and then maybe other people will.
Can we lock Higley and Tomlin in a closet never to be heard from again?
I don't think Tomlin will. Like I said, I kind of wish Chris Weitzel was staying. I think a lot of the writing that people give credit to Dina Higley for writing for Nicole, because she, and you know, that's true. We actually did see a much more dimensional Nicole, you know, when the kidnapping went on and all that. And I really think that was Chris Weitzel's writing more than it was Dina's. So I hope he stays, but we should see pretty soon because there are a lot of contracts that are up.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you back on, Amy?
Oh yeah, I got kicked off. Sorry.
Oh okay, I just noticed. Yeah. Okay. Hope it wasn't too long. Okay, we're yakking away here. I just noticed. Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why Blog Talk does that.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Well, Marianne, what would be your ideal story to come back for them to do for the 50th anniversary? We know you want Tony and Anna to come back.
Tony, that would be my ideal story. It's like Tony, you know, just to prove that Tony is still alive. I just love to see him. And I also like to have Stefano back. But I'd love to see him, you know, with him walk through that door and open the door and, like, yell, Father. You know how he says, Father. Father, I'm home. I'm back or whatever. And, like, to have Anna there. Yeah, that would be great. I don't know. Who else would I like to see back?
There's so many people. Isn't
that? Oh, there's so many people, yeah. Oh, yeah, like Stephen Nichols, Patch and Kayla and, you know, Shane and Kimberly, although they have been on before. I don't know.
I'd really like Bo to come back at least.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just wondering
how... He doesn't have to get back with
Hope.
I don't care. But just, you know, let's actually show the Bo that we love.
Philip.
Mm-hmm.
But if they could get the original Belle and Sean, I like the original, but, you know, that's kind of hard. But Marcia Madison, I liked her, too.
I read this week too. I was not a fan of. Remember when they had the fraternity and sorority house, and they killed the guy, and they had Max put him in the hot water tank, sneak him out. That was when they had the Southern Belle girl, Hollingsworth, I think was her last name.
Yeah, I think that was during the writer's strike. I think.
Yeah, it was right before, after 2008-ish, she was not my favorite by imagination because I was really a bad Southern accent, I thought, but just me. But they're bringing her father back, you know, who's been in jail. Lyndon Ashby, who used to be a regular on Young and the Restless, came on today's as the Hollingsworth dad, Paul Hollingsworth,
I guess,
his name. And he's coming back. I guess he's been in jail all this time. I forgot what happened to him because that was back when they killed.
Wait, he is coming back, or you want him back?
No, I don't want him back. I mean, it wasn't a significant story, but I saw on Daytime Royalty they had like comings and goings, and they said that Ashby Lyndon or Lyndon Ashby, whatever, was coming back as Paul. And I know that character. I'm pretty sure went off to jail.
Did you write that
when
they had Robo John? Is that the whole thing?
Go ahead.
When they killed the professor, Roscoe Bourne played.
Oh, yeah, that was supposed to be Melanie's father, and then they changed
mm-hmm.
his name.
Right.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Max is Melanie's father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there's been so many different things. You know who I'd like to see back? I don't know. Is Alex Marshall back?
Oh, yeah.
Quinn Rediker's still around, yeah. And Marie Cheatham,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I'm sure Marie would come back. She's come back several times.
Yeah, Marie would come back. Like some of these, like, you know, kind of goes a little further back, you know.
Don Craig and Maggie had an affair. Yes, Don Craig obviously had been married to Marlena, but there were quite a few stories with Don Craig for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yvonne and Vivian. They can bring Northrop back as the real Roman and then have Josh Taylor.
Neil and Liz.
show back to Chris Kostchek.
Yeah, bring Chris Kostchek back. That's what they need to do. Bring Chris Kostchek back and then bring Wayne Northrup back as Rose.
I mean, they already have the actor playing Chris Kostchek there, so we don't have to pay an extra actor to come on.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, because
What was Michael Weiss that played Mike?
Michael?
Michael.
Okay.
I like that. I liked him. I thought him was fine, too, but I liked him the best.
Yeah.
Calliope. I think somebody talked about Calliope and Jean last week.
Yeah, Calliope and Eugene,
And Vaughn and Vivian.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't know, Jamie, I think you've probably seen them most of the show. Did they mention Dario this past week? I heard somebody say that.
Yeah. They said Dario.
I don't know why, but...
It's even the way they said it, Dario. Anybody missed Rafe? No, right? He hasn't been on in like forever. It's like I thought he actually left town. He didn't.
I'm sure
Dina
will bring him back.
Maybe he fully left because he hasn't been on. I keep thinking.
No,
oh,
he's
maybe.
Working
well, I think,
on the still.
Yeah, I think what they have, trying to guess this timing is so hard. But remember, at Day of Days, Drake Hogeston really, I think, was being honest when he said he didn't know if John was going to return from Europe, and so that would have been November of last year. And
John
so,
is back from Europe; he just hasn't been on much.
Yeah, so now he's back, and
he's
John
back,
has gone back to the police department. And then they flipped Rafe over to the club about the time that Freddie Smith started having some personal things to take care of. So,
yeah. I thought maybe they'd have him in a coma for a while. Obviously not.
That was a wonderful time, too. That was a good era.
When's that? Oh.
When they had Rafe in the coma.
Oh, yes. Anytime Rafe's not. I mean, he's just been on for so long.
But it sounds like Galen's happy that Dina's back.
Galen is just happy to be there, period, and collecting a paycheck.
He should be. I don't know who. I don't know who he's sleeping with, but I don't know. He's sleeping with someone. Maybe it's Ken. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I just, like I said, the character
just
has just not moved an inch.
Yeah,
no,
Rafe has no purpose anymore. That's another person they could get rid of, I guess, to save money for bringing people back.
Yeah.
Maybe the diva could have a write-in thing on her blog, and people could come up. First of all, they could have, like, list of characters to go and list of characters they'd like to see come back, and then maybe there could be a separate post where
we should
people propose stories.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm going to buy her or some kind of campaign or something for the 50th.
I think it would be nice to have it in writing because then maybe somebody at the show would really read it. It's hard to keep track of stuff on Twitter. I mean, people can do that on Twitter, but, you have to go back through people's timelines. But if we could post it to the Diva board, that would be, a central place
that
somebody would go back and look at it.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing, going back to General Hospital, Luke, he might have mental illness. And they kind of brought that up when Scott Baldwin was talking to Luke's daughter, Lulu, about how Luke raped Laura and ran over Elizabeth's child. They could explain, that was Luke having mental illness at the time. He did those horrible things.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, because I didn't watch that back then. So there's a lot of backstories that I don't know of. So I'll hear. I just learn as I go, as I watch these news.
The really nice thing about General Hospital, too, is that anytime they have done any mental illness AIDS, any type of really significant social issue, they've always done really serious PSAs at the end of the episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, did more than just kind of give a head nod to that. They really did take it seriously and gave people information and so forth. You know, they could, you know, where they could get more information and so forth. So they always do a good job. I think that, like I said, just on the whole, I think, like I said, they've done a good job with that. And now it looks like they're bringing on Rebecca Budig from All My Children, who's going to come on, I guess, in a killer role. So I'm assuming she's going to actually kill someone. They advertised that. That was the interview, right, Jamie? When they did Eric Martzoff, they superimposed Rebecca Budig's picture.
Oh yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, they take killer role, so they think she's going to be like a serial killer or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. Well, we're getting towards the end of the show.
I don't know, but.
Okay. So, anything last things to say?
Yeah, maybe if you could just ask Diva, you know, I think that would be kind of fun if we could all submit some stuff.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
different. So.
Yeah, who they want to bring back, what do you want to see for the 50th, and who do you want to see go, or, yeah. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks, girl, for helping the show and do the show. It was fun. Always like to hear your views. So we'll see what next week brings.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Jim. Yeah.
Good to hear from you, Jan.
Nice being able to talk to you guys.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.